This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed. How are you doing?
Fine, Johnny. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. It's been a fascinating week and a busy one at that. And of course, we've here in the UK seen the Bank of England raise interest rates for the first time in more than 3 years. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, what about the Fed last night, which said it would end its pandemic era bond purchases in March, and certainly looks like it's going to pave the way for 3/4-point rate hikes by the end of next year. What did you make of it?
I think that the Fed completed their hawkish turn. I would like to point out the market reaction was a lot of people were kind of scratching their heads because at first you hear they're doubling their tapering pace. They're signaling 3 rate hikes in 2022, another 3 the next year. And it was very hawkish and risk appetite just roared back. You saw stocks continue to push higher. The dollar weakened as you had a lot more interest in risky assets, commodity currencies. And I think you have to understand, you know, how important this rate decision was and how Wall Street was positioned. The market was extremely nervous about this FOMC decision. And I think what you saw was that some traders were positioning themselves that we were going to have a dovish accelerated tapering where you were going to see that the Fed was going to show that they're behind the ball, that they were going to act too slow in tackling inflation. That's why a lot of investors were positioning themselves for a little bit of a dovish surprise. And then you had another part of Wall Street that was they wanted the overall slower rate hiking cycle expectations to remain in place. And they just wanted to buy risky assets and buy U.S. stocks if the Fed did not really show an accelerated rate hiking cycle. And you saw both groups of traders fairly content with the way the FOMC decision went. The Fed is finally moving and positioning themselves ready to tackle inflation, and I think that you're going to see, you know, price increases are going to continue to spread broadly over these next couple months, but there's I think a lot of optimism that the Fed is going to be, you know, positioned to raise rates in the second quarter, I think that you're probably going to start to see some of these pricing pressures ease in the summertime, which means in when it's all said and done, you could probably say that the Fed will throughout this rate hiking cycle maybe deliver several rate hikes where the new neutral rate will be around 2.5%, that the Fed will have some ammunition when the next recession comes. So I think markets were fairly content with how stay true to that hawkish pivot. And the Fed does not look like they're behind the curve on tackling inflation, even though you could easily make the argument that tapering should have been done by now.
You said to me off air just now that had it not been for that decision from the Fed yesterday, the Bank of England would probably have kept rates where they were at 0.1% rather than increasing them for the first time in more than 3 years today to 0.25%. Now, and historically speaking, 0.25% is absolutely nothing. And for many years, that was still the record low. But it is a significant moment, isn't it, that they've actually decided to break that chain and deal with this increasing inflation rate, fastest for 10 years, and that despite fears of the Omicron variant slowing the economy. They've put all that aside. They're obviously very concerned about inflation, as we all are, as the world is. Well, maybe with the exception of President Erdogan in Turkey, but more of him later. And the bank has warned that inflation could hit 6% next year, but I'm not sure that I see this rate rise is going to do very much to stop prices going up, because it's hardly anything at all. Maybe it's just symbolic.
I think with the Bank of England, you have to remember, you know, last month, the heavily anticipated, first rate hike was supposed to happen then. and it didn't. And it surprised a lot of people. Given what we know with Omicron, you're probably saying, wow, they really should have. I think what was important was that, you know, the BOE was, I think they were kind of on the fence. But what the Fed did was pave the way for the rest of the world to continue to go on with their tightening cycles or to begin theirs. The BOE rate hike, you know, it's the first major central bank to raise rates in this pandemic. And now I think you're starting to see that there is a lot of optimism here that you're not going to see that short-term dollar dominance continue. I think for the Bank of England, worries about inflation, trumped all these virus concerns. This is, for a lot of economists, they're saying this is a risk because you're with this new variant and, you know, future new variants, you're never sure what the, you know, how the economy will slow materially. But I think that no one can doubt the inflationary pressures. And I think you should not be surprised if you see the Bank of England move in May. There's maybe a chance they'll do it again in February. But I mean, still, if they're raising rates at a snail's pace, it really, I think, should not choke the economy. And then I think you're probably going to see investors, you know, following this momentous move. Yes, the markets will probably become a little bit more aggressive in pricing that February hike. But I still think that, it's all dependent on inflation. And that will likely keep, I think, us being, you know, data dependent on that. And I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know, the BOE, they did lift their peak inflation forecast to around 6% in April. So if we're continuing to rise into April, then yes, those earlier hikes should be expected. But I think you're probably going to see markets err on the side of more tightening than not right now. And given how Omicron is spreading, there are concerns that you're still seeing record cases across the UK, South Africa, and while the serious illness that will be, you know, we'll learn more about that in these next couple of weeks. This is a critical period for South Africa in the sense that so far they haven't really seen hospitalizations go up, but now we're at that 2 to 3 week period where this is where you start to see hospitalizations and the beginnings of sadly deaths that could come from this variant. So this is going to be a big next couple weeks for tracking this new variant, and I think that definitely weigh on monetary policy going forward.
Of course, no rate change from the ECB. All of their rates remain as they were, but they have cut bond purchases and vowed to continue the monetary policy support well into 2022.
For me, the key takeaway was that the ECB, it looks like they're more worried about this new variant and the risks that has to GDP growth and the possibility of just continuing to see persistently higher inflation. I think the forecasts really told an interesting story, because the dovish stance by the ECB was really hard to understand given the sharp increase they had for inflation, their inflation forecasts. 2022, they raised their inflation forecast from 1.7% to 3.2%. And then for 2023, they raised it from 1.5 to 1.8. That is very significant. And I think you're probably going to see investors are, you know, if it wasn't for the overall repositioning that you saw post Fed, you would have seen a weaker euro following this type of decision. You know, the markets were a little bit in disagreement, you know, given that, you know, the asset purchase program was scaled down that $20 billion, which was earlier than expected. But I think that, you know, they're going to keep it for as long as necessary. And that, you know, reinforces this accommodative impact on policy rates. So there is no end date. And that's why, you know, this ECB meeting is mostly dovish. Lagarde, though, you know, she obviously, you know, she can't ignore the inflationary pressures and, the possible upside risks to inflation is you know, that could really move the ECB. But, you know, she's standing by her, you know, her statement. And, you know, she's been, you know, touting that, you know, it's unlikely they'll raise rates next year. And I think markets, they'll kind of, I think, remain in agreement with that for now. But so now ECB definitely, I would say, a more dovish meeting than especially when compared to the BOE and the Fed.
And last and possibly least, Turkey. They've cut their interest rates again, despite spiraling inflation and the currency crisis. The central bank cut its main rate by 1% from 15% to 14%. And that's after lots of pressure from President Erdogan for rates to be cut to stimulate the economy. He believes, of course, that pushing rates lower will help alleviate this inflation problem. It's a view that runs contrary to conventional economic theory, is it not? But it certainly makes it interesting, doesn't it?
Very much so. I think that a fourth consecutive rate cut, and obviously the lira has been punished. I remember I was getting some awkward eyes when I was targeting 10 on the lira, and now we're above 15.6. It's been the easiest trade in FX. The blatant disregard for monetary policy reactions, you know, shows you that, you know, markets, they're waiting to hear from President Erdogan to see what his thoughts are with, you know, the central bank ending rate cuts after this fourth straight reduction. So this is, I mean, Turkey is in the economy is just in terrible shape right now, and I think that you know, they're scrambling. You know, Turkey also announced that they were raising the minimum wage by 50% for 2022. that is you know, pretty significant, and it shows you just how vulnerable the economy is, and you know, how desperate, you know, the government is trying to provide some support for its people. But this unorthodox monetary policy approach by Turkey is just, you know, yielding continued weakness here. And it's interesting that over these, you know, past couple months, every time there was an intervention, that just excited every trader. They just, you know, faded any lira strength that we've seen. So until we hear from Erdogan, that's going to be the key, and whether or not, you know, the lira continues to weaken beyond 16.
Indeed. Well, it's been a very interesting conversation today, Ed. We look forward to speaking to you again, and perhaps next week's going to be a little bit quieter with Christmas almost upon us, but have a very good break if we don't speak before.
Thank you, Johnny. Looking forward to it, and happy holidays to you.
This is the Oanda Podcast.